The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times Communities column, Forbidden Siegel Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't understand why God created evil. Well, my friend, God did not create evil. That's because evil is not a substance. Evil is not something you can look at in a test tube. Evil is a choice made by people. What God created was human beings. What God created within human beings was free will. Unfortunately, the ability to choose good includes the ability to choose bad, or it is not a real ability. Last week, our country witnessed horrific evil at a movie theater, of all places. Some have politicized the event, trying to blame the Tea Party. Some are blaming guns and calling for more gun control laws. Some are even blaming the movie itself for its violence. And then, of course, there are a few of us radical people who have the audacity to blame the guy that went into the theater and shot the gun. The movie, of course, the long-awaited Dark Knight Rises, third in a Batman trilogy. Here to discuss this film both artistically and socially is film critic Mark Boubian. We usually don't bring him back so soon, but it seemed warranted this time. Mark, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me, Bob. And I'm glad to be on the show, but it's actually, you know, I feel bad under these circumstances because of such a horrible and senseless event that just occurred.
Well, next time we have a horrible event, we won't invite you back on the show.
Well, that's not what I meant.
Okay, you know, Nick, our board op, I talked about this a little bit last week, and he said, don't get me started on this. And Nick, of course, is an artist, loves the movie, so I invited Nick to pop in. So when you hear that third voice once in a while, that's Nick.
Okay, I'll keep my ears open.
Okay.
Well, this was, to me, a senseless, brutal, evil act that happened in this movie theater. And I actually saw the movie the next day on Friday.
Oh, you had not seen it already?
I didn't see it at midnight here. But, you know, I was only on a last-minute decision that I said, I'll just go to the 7 p.m. show. But the theater was swarmed by news people. I mean, it was CNN was there. There was Channel 5 from Los Angeles.
Which theater did you see it?
At the Mira Mesa Theater. Now, I did not know that James Holmes, the shooter, the alleged shooter, was from San Diego. He actually lives in, I believe
Lived here, and his parents still live here.
Yeah, okay. So he lived in Rancho Penasquitos. If he hadn't lived in Colorado, this was the theater he would most likely have gone to.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's why all the press was there.
And of course, the press was camped on his parents' lawn, which was so unfair to the parents. So,
right. And I absolutely agree with that. That was a terrible thing. And, you know, the press, unfortunately, they come to an event like this and they, when it first happens, the only question they ever seem to ask is, how do you feel about this?
And oh, I feel great.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, what a stupid question.
Right. What answer are you going to give exactly?
We're doing okay, all things considered. What a dumb question.
Yeah, it's a terrible question. And so I didn't get interviewed, but some of the people in the line I was in did. And it is sort of somewhat torturous to watch this unfold. I wish that, fortunately, what I wish would happen the day after, where people would actually stop and think and wonder and that's actually been coming out lately, and I think we're going to discuss some of the responses that people have had over the last week. What I found, and what I'm very happy about, is even though we're going to talk about some of the really bad and kind of I don't know, knuckleheaded, I hate to use that word even, responses. There have been, the majority that I have read, they're actually taking the stance, the crazy stance that you did, Bob, and blaming the perpetrator himself and pointing out that this
maybe
is...
Maybe that's because our country has such a history these last few years of seeing everybody but the perpetrator get blamed. Maybe people are wising up.
Yeah.
Saying, this, we're tired of hearing this.
Yeah, I don't know. It also may be that this was... I mean, the movie theater form that this occurred in, this really touches a lot more people than, say, the Virginia Tech killing, because that was specifically college students. And it's hard for people to relate to that group of victims when they're not one of the, I mean, you're not a college student. So it's harder to step into those shoes and say, I could have been there. What would my response have been? Here's a question that we can all ask.
Yeah, who hasn't gone to the movies?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I think that that raises the empathy level quite a bit. And I think that's a really good thing. It's not saying that the shooting is good at all. I'm just saying that the response and that empathy is a very good thing.
Yeah, and you know, sadly, even though I don't blame the filmmakers at all, unfortunately, that incident will always be forever associated with this movie. I saw it a few days later, and I had heard that they were about 10 minutes into the movie when he came in, so I couldn't help thinking, gosh, is this the part? Is that the part?
Right.
And of course, I guess they'll make it clear which was the part, and they probably have somewhere, and so it'll be hard to watch the movie from now on without just thinking about that, and it's such a shame.
Yeah,
because
it is.
That's not what the producers and writers and actors intended to accomplish.
Right, you don't want to associate it with something like that. It's like taking a beautiful work of art and associating this horrific event with it. I mean, that's literally what we are doing now, and it's too bad that that association has to be made. I absolutely agree with you there, Bob.
And that's not the first time that has ever happened either, which is unfortunate, because my problem with the coverage that the media has been shoveling us over the past week is every time something that has to do with art or the media is tied to something horrific like this, they always try to find a scapegoat. It can't be. It just can't be that it's simply because he's nuts. It can't be. It had to be something else. It had to be a scene from a Batman comic from 1985 where somebody shoots up a theater. It had to have been the movies. It had to have been, you know, everything, because he had all this Batman merchandise on his wall. He colored his hair like the Joker, which he didn't, by the way.
Yeah, doesn't the Joker have green hair? This guy colored his hair orange.
Exactly. He has green hair, but no!
The dummy, he doesn't even know how the real Joker looks.
It had to have been something else that influenced him. It couldn't have been that he was nuts or he had a weak mind. No. It's art. It's something else entirely. And I hate that about the media. Absolutely hate it about the media.
Right. And I agree with you that they want to... I think it's human nature, though, that you want to look for an explanation for something like this happens. That
no,
it's
that's,
so brutally
well, even
violent.
That he's nuts is an explanation. No, nobody
that's
wants
true.
To look at
it's
the explanation evil. There was a book written by the psychiatrist M. Scott Peck years ago where he said, you know, in all the years I've been doing psychology and psychiatry, we've never had a diagnosis just called evil. And he doesn't fit the profile. He's like, well, he was a good student. He had a doctorate. Excuse me, have you ever heard of Joseph Mengele? These really
right.
intelligent Nazis. You can be intelligent and still be evil. You could have a good upbringing and still be evil. So even when we try to explain, I remember years ago when Andrea Yates, the woman, drowned her kids in the bathroom, the defense was not guilty by way of insanity. The summation of the offense was this: a woman will never do that to her children. But she did. Well,
yeah.
There we go. We rest our case. Since a woman will never do it, and she did, she must have been nuts. No more to discuss.
Oh,
this goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's... I mean, the fact that he's nuts and the fact that he potentially has schizophrenia, which is a theory that's been kicked around, that's good enough for me, you know. And being somebody like, look, you go to my house and you'll see two art prints from a comic book artist, Batman. You look into my comic book collection, I've got Batman everywhere. I got Batman actually. I am a Batman nut. I know what I'm talking about. I have that comic book in question that people are pulling into the conversation. And you know what? I'm 27 years old. I'm not that much older than this guy. Am I shooting up a theater? Absolutely not.
Right.
It's because I have my head on straight.
Yeah, of course.
Now, you're saying, Nick, that there was a Batman comic from years ago that had somebody go into a movie theater and shoot? Okay.
There's
and then maybe he got the idea from that. Supposedly.
Yeah, I've heard it from a few different media sources pointing the finger at a story called Batman the Dark Knight Returns. And there's a scene in there. See, it takes place years later in the future. Batman is retired. And so he comes out of retirement because Gotham City's is getting worse than ever. New generation of criminals, and one of the criminals, to show how bad Gotham is getting, they show a guy who is going into a theater with a gun, saying that he's trying to, you know, cleanse humanity, and you know, saying in the name of purity, and starts shooting up a theater. And people are this coincidence, they're pulling it in to the conversation, saying, "Oh, it must have been that."
Yeah, I agree. People are always looking for something beyond the obvious, which is that this guy is just himself responsible for what he did.
Right. Now, this does kind of raise a question, though, that I did want to talk about, because one of the things that that I disagree with is when people say art has no effect or influence or anything on humanity.
That's very true.
When the Passion of the Christ came out, there was a huge backlash against it, and people were going crazy, and there were arguments left and right. Of course, it was a big cultural event when it happened. And South Park did a very funny episode about the response, not about the movie per se, but about the response to the movie. And the conclusion of the South Park episode was, give us a break. It's just a movie. So South Park, the producers make this show. They use this medium of animation, tell it through a work of fiction to tell you that this is just a movie. Well, if it's just a movie, then that's just a TV show, and give us a break. We shouldn't listen to what you're saying either.
Yeah,
it's kind of this paradoxical situation that they're setting up. But the fact is that movies do influence and affect us. They have an emotional... we respond to art. That's why we love art.
That's true. Movie. And I saw them. They were giving some analogies. They were talking about this week, one of those duh, no kidding kinds of surveys. They came to the conclusion that teenagers that watch a lot of R-rated erotic films are more likely to go out and have sex. Okay, well, but sex is titillating.
Right.
Sex is tempting. I wouldn't say that violence is. I say what would be the influence of a violent movie like Batman or a violent movie like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars? I would say the influence is a hatred of evil and a love for good triumphing over evil. So whereas you can argue that that's an effect and an influence, it's a positive one. It's not the effect that we saw.
Right.
Okay, we will be right back. Film critic Mark Boobian, we're going to be reviewing The Dark Knight Rises and also reviewing some of the dumb, lame cultural reactions to The Dark Knight Rises.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with film critic Mark Boobian. We're discussing The Dark Knight Rises and, of course, the phenomenon associated with it this past week.
That's right. Now, I liked your last comment before the break there, Bob, where you were talking about the response. And you're keying in on the story and the theme and the effect that that has on people, where that is a theme of heroism, a theme of rising above evil and doing good. And I actually believe that that is much more important than whether or not the movie has XYZ amount of violence, XYZ number of
yes, it's how the violence is being used. The violence itself is neutral. What is being accomplished? If violence is stopping evil, then that violence is not bad.
Right.
And maybe some of the guys that laid on top of their girlfriends and sacrificed their lives for them, maybe that's how the real theme of the Batman movie affected them.
Right, that's possible.
An act of heroism on their part.
Yeah, because they've been seeing movies where this is depicted, and we hold that up as a virtue. And they lived it, and they died by that virtue, and they really are heroes, honestly, the people that did that. And I had read about that.
In fact, that's even more heroic than putting on a leotard and a cape and driving a fancy car around.
Yeah, right. Having all these great toys. But, you know, I think this is a really good question because now to me, what the responses have been somewhat just blame, like let's expunge all violence from movies because it's the violence itself that's the problem, not the purpose, not whether or not it's got an intent, not whether it forwards the story along. It's just, it's violent, therefore it is having a negative effect on people.
Violence equals bad.
Right. And I don't agree with that at all. And I ultimately, everybody that I've ever discussed this with has brought up the question of sex. Because in America, our movies tend to have less sexuality than, say, in Europe. And they have more violence than, say, in Europe. So Europeans tend to criticize us. Why?
So what that means is that unless a European movie has sex, it bores us to death.
Which is probably true, actually. But as you said, we respond completely differently to sexual scenes than to violent scenes. I mean, there's a whole industry devoted to making movies of people having sex. Is there an industry devoted to movies that just show senseless and mindless violence occurring?
Well, Warner Brothers, obviously.
Right.
Especially those Warner Brother cartoons where Wile E. Coyote keeps falling off a cliff.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so realistic. So, I mean, but that right there, I think, makes the point that we respond completely differently to sexuality, to sexual scenes, and to eroticism than we do to violence. And otherwise, there would be an industry making just purely violent movies that just show things blowing up and people dying. I mean, people have made such movies. There's the Faces of Death films, kind of. And even those films have been criticized for not being, quote unquote, real. So that's the only thing out there that just is violence for violence sake, or one of the only things out there. It wouldn't be the only, of course.
But if you asked a Batman fan, or probably a fan of any of the superhero movies, which are so popular these days, they'd probably say that what attracts them is the notion of heroism. And the theme of self-sacrifice and the conflict of good versus evil.
Right.
Finding a little
I don't think
good
they'd say, I love the violence. And they might say the action is cool. They might say something like that. But they're not going to say, oh, it inspires me to do violence.
I know for me, it's finding a little good in a world of bad.
Yeah.
A little bit of heroism. That's what attracts me to superheroes for sure. That they carry that, you know, it shows me, oh, you know, there's a, you know, of course, don't take it seriously. It's only fiction, but, you know. You know, having a little reminder, you know, some good virtues still exist.
Right. There's that influence on you. Again, you do recognize that it's not real per se, but it does portray a value that we hold dear to our hearts.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to hold up Mayor Bloomberg as a hero. We do need other heroes.
And, you know, Bob, you actually brought up Warner Brothers Animation. There was something that came into the news a couple days ago that I read. That Warner Bros. Animation this fall is going to be introducing a new Batman animated series called Beware the Batman on Cartoon Network, which they own. And they just announced that in light of the Aurora shootings, they're going to be toning down the gun violence.
Oh, great.
In the show.
Great. That'll bore people. I heard also that the ticket sales dropped substantially. This is still the third largest selling movie of all time, but it was a huge, they said something like a 65%.
A bigger drop than they anticipated.
Sales.
Yeah.
It still stayed the number one movie despite that, but it was a huge drop.
Yeah, that's a prediction, and I honestly don't know if that's real because, again, now Hollywood, being all about money, wants to point the finger at something when stuff doesn't work out as well as they had hoped. And I mean, I think they expected The Dark Knight Rises to beat the pants off of the previous movie, The Dark Knight. So I just... I think they just needed something to blame for the fact that it's not doing quite as well.
Wasn't it doing very well opening weekend before the shooting? Wasn't it doing as well as they were hoping?
Well, the shooting occurred opening night, literally.
Oh, that's
so
true. So
it would have a tremendous effect on the film at that point. But it's hard to say. I mean, how do you make that kind of prediction? It's just compared to the previous movie, it's not doing as well. So therefore, it has to be the shooting.
By the way,
that's the only...
Yeah, Christian Bale went and visited some of the victims, which I thought was really a classy thing to
do.
Yes, I mean, he could have been putting a little bit on the line. Some of those victims or their families might have wanted to blame him. And
right.
I think he was putting a little on the line and doing a real class act by going and visiting them.
Yeah, he definitely deserves credit for that. That's just a wonderful thing that he did. And I know that everything I've read about that just showed people really, really appreciated that. And what's interesting is I believe it's Warner actually said he did it on his own. They didn't take any credit for it. They said it was his own thing. He didn't do it under the auspices or with the permission of Warner Studios. So they made it clear that it was his own decision. And you would think that the studio would want to align themselves with that. So I think that shows a little bit of conscience on their part as well.
Absolutely.
And so some of the other things that I think are interesting about the discussion around this is that, again, the whole notion that violence should be blamed or expunged. Now, there's people that are actually discussing about this in the movie industry itself. I brought a couple of quotes from two very big names in the movie industry, Harvey Weinstein being the first one. Now, he has produced over 200 films. He's a huge producer. Almost guaranteed you've seen one of his movies and liked it. So it's just he's a major player in Hollywood. And when he was questioned, of course, I'm assuming that he's somewhat liberal because the first thing out of his mouth was blaming the NRA, which is a common response that I've heard. Everybody's blamed the opposite political party that they're aligned with pretty much when they've got a chance to blame somebody. They're pointing the finger wherever they can. So, of course, he's going to point the finger at the NRA. But he was asked about the violence in his movies because he's produced some very violent movies. And he said, it's a question that I wrestle with all the time. I've been involved with violent movies. And I've also said to a certain point that I can't take it anymore. Please cut it. So this is his response. And he's trying to say that, okay. And he also goes on to say, you need to respect the filmmaker and it's a tough issue. And then he expresses concern for the families involved, which I think is a good thing. What he's trying to say here is that, you know, in the movies he's worked on, he's tried to tone them down because he's personally been affronted by them. And you know what? I do not believe a word he's saying. And that, I think that that's one of the sad things I would say about Hollywood. When you hear something come out of a producer's mouth, when he's a really big marketing focused person, I think that they're going to be somewhat disingenuous, especially when confronted with a question like he was, because he has produced some of the most violent movies in modern time. He played it down. I've been involved in violent movies. Well, I'm sorry, but if you saw John Rambo, the latest Rambo movie, I kind of would like to know where he took a stand and said, cut it, because that movie became comically disgusting at a certain point where Rambo is just mowing people down with a machine gun at one point. It's just
And I'm sure they considered ludicrous. Having Rambo join the Peace Corps and making that be the theme right. of the movie instead. I'm sure they wrestled right. with that decision.
And the point of the Rambo movie is that violence is the only solution to some things. So it's not even, I mean, there's
no question.
Of course,
you can't justify a police force if you don't believe that. How do you stop crime? There's a point where there has to be some violence to stop evil. It's unavoidable.
Right. Yes, it is. But, you know, Rambo goes a little over the top, way over the top. Well, so there's
this isn't to say that there isn't gratuitous violence in movies, too. But,
of course.
But, you know, anything can be done in excess. But the concept of violence in movies, if we removed them, frankly, people just would not find a movie compelling anymore.
Right. Well, they wouldn't find it real, I think, ultimately, because we all know in our hearts that evil exists. And if you're not depicting evil, in some movies, I don't mean in all movies, but in some movies where it's warranted when that's the story, if you're not showing that in any film, people are going to become bored and they're going to know that you're not being real to humanity. And the arts are supposed to reflect humanity.
Okay, one thing that we've conspicuously avoided so far is whether or not Mark actually liked the movie in its own right. So I will be asking him that, too. We're also here not only to review the culture, but the movie itself. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
I'm here with film critic Mark Booby, and he is going to review The Dark Knight Rises. But before getting there, we're still discussing the impact of the horrible shooting that took place on opening night of The Dark Knight Rises.
Thanks, Bob. Well, talking again a little bit more about Harvey Weinstein's what I consider to be a disingenuous response on his part, I think that when he's cornered, having made some of the most violent movies of all time, what kind of response is he going to have? I think maybe he didn't know what to say in the context, or possibly that he just didn't have a good response because he hadn't really thought it through, because his movies really are violent and he's really been put on the spot. And if you don't want to offend or even further harm the victims by saying something dumb, you've got to really kind of be on your toes. So I feel like maybe I'm judging him a little bit harshly by calling him disingenuous, even though that's how it came across to me. But because his situation, I'm not in his shoes, of course.
Well, we'll find out if he starts making movies like My Dinner with Andre, then
which I doubt
then
he
we'll
will.
Take him more seriously.
Right. And, you know, and it is a hard question, because when you're asked right on the spot and you've made these movies, then what are you going to say? But here we are. I mean, in this forum here, Bob, we can talk about, well, when the story calls for it, when it's not gratuitous, when we respond differently to violence. I don't think when you're asked a question by the press, you have a lot of leeway to make kind of a long-winded, so to speak, answer, or to really explore the issue in depth when a question has been fired at you.
Because if he says, given these things, it's appropriate, the press will quote him by saying, Weinstein says violence
is
appropriate. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Now, another thing that I kind of wanted to look at was, you know, if we're talking about movies being violent, and movies are a new thing culturally. I mean, we are the movie generation. This is our form of art. It's specifically new to our generation and our era. But in the past, there's been other forms of art, written form, story told by writing, told by oral forms. There's been, you know, paintings. Photography is just such a new thing. So I went back about as far as I could possibly go to see, is there violence in stuff that's way back in the old days?
Oh, like this book called The Bible?
The Bible would be a good yeah. starting point, but I actually went further.
I don't think it gets more violent than the Bible.
No, it doesn't, really, to be honest. But, well, actually it might. I don't know. I went back to the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is considered to be the oldest written story ever found. And it's not complete. It's in pieces, so it's actually somewhat difficult to read and understand. But from what I could garner from it, not only is there violence, there's sex, there's gay sex, there's murder, there's, I believe he killed his mother or something like that, or he's, and he oppresses his people, and there's this huge battle that occurs at the end of the story. So this is a totally violent tale, and it's the very oldest piece of fiction that we've got in our hands. So it's not like this is a new thing. Oh my gosh, movies are too violent. Well, this form of art, storytelling, that reflects humanity has violence in it because we are, unfortunately, a violent people, and that's real, and that's just the way it is. But again, Gilgamesh has stayed around because presumably, I couldn't get this from it because it was too piecemeal, but there's much, much, much writing about the Epic of Gilgamesh that it's a story about heroism, ultimately, and that's why it has survived the ages, and that's why people still consider it to be something of a great find. It's not that it's just violent and has sex and everything.
I can't wait till the film version by Harvey Weinstein.
Right. He's got to put an option in for it. Actually, it's probably public domain by now.
if that's not public domain, nothing's public domain.
Right. But then, Bob, you did bring up the Bible. Some of the most violent things I ever read in the Bible.
Samson was the first superhero, and he was the stupidest superhero that ever
that's
lived.
That's true. How many people
he didn't dazzle kill? Anybody with his intelligence.
No. And then there's like this. I remember the first time I read the whole Bible all the way through, coming into a scene where a person is hiding under a tent, and the hero
hammer the stake
through his head.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I've never even seen that in a movie, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cecil B. DeMille years ago used to say he got away with putting sex and violence in movies before you were allowed. He just called it a biblical.
That's right.
Had scantily dressed women, and they were as violent as they come. Look at the Ten Commandments. It's an extremely violent movie.
There you go. Right. Absolutely. And then we could even come forward in time. Beowulf, which is one of the great Germanic epics.
Which was one of the few 3D movies that I really liked.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I liked
right.
the way
I
it looked.
We could talk about it another time. I'm not with you on that.
Okay.
I'm glad that animation studio has collapsed and failed and is gone. Thank God. There is a God because that animation studio is gone. Anyway.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Okay, it's two against one here.
Right. But Beowulf is a very violent story. I mean, he's killing Grendel and his mom. And Grendel's mom, not Beowulf's mom. Tears the arm off Grendel. It's gross, disgusting, violent. And it's this great, wondrous epic. Then let's go to Shakespeare. I mean, Macbeth, where not only is there violence, but there's blood. Blood is key, is imperative to the story of Macbeth. This is where we get the saying, there's blood on your hands. It's from Macbeth. And that is a very violent kind of image.
I wonder if people will someday rewrite these stories and try to take the violence out of them.
The PC
like the way they changed the Pirates of the Caribbean. The pirates used to chase
That's
women.
Right.
Now they're chasing women with trays of food. Yeah.
Disney does Shakespeare.
Yeah. Years from now, the pirates will be on a Band of Brotherhood peace mission and sail around the world to join hands and sing Kumbaya. We'll have that version of the ride.
Right. Or we'll, yeah. That would be awesome. I would love to. We could do that as a comedy. That would actually
well,
work.
Well, if they
probably.
Put it in Disney's California Adventure where all the lame stuff belongs, maybe.
Right. There you go.
Hey, Cars Land is awesome.
Oh, okay. You know, that's so new.
I hear they've redone that. I am going to go look at the redone California
You should.
Adventure.
It's worth it.
Okay. Well, finally, they've done something right with California Adventure.
Okay. It only took 11 years.
Yeah, right. Long enough. Some other, Clockwork Orange is another movie that I love. I think it has a great theme, and it is the most violent movie I think
it
I could ever
It is extremely
cite.
Violent, but exploring our capacity for violence as human beings was the theme of the
Part
movie.
Of it, yeah.
Well, the theme of the Bob Siegel Show is Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. We'll be right back. Your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi,
I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you?
Welcome back to our program. I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian, bringing him back a little sooner than we usually do to talk about the phenomenon associated with The Dark Knight Rises, the very tragic phenomenon.
Yes, that the shooting in Aurora, yes. I think a couple more citations. I don't know if they're worthwhile, but the Believers was a movie that was made in the early 80s. I believe Martin Sheen was in it. And Martin Sheen, there were actual shooting killings, cult killings, brutal murders. I don't know what they involved, but they were apparently very terrible. And Martin Sheen said that because the movie actually did influence these people, they named it as an influence, that he would never do a movie like this again. And he stuck by that. And that, again, that does raise the question. Movies do affect us, do influence us, do have some kind of impact on our lives. Now, I think that this kind of brings the question all the way around. If the movie's going to affect us, if it's going to have an influence on us, what kind of movie should we make? I think it's a bigger question than whether or not the movie should have an explosion in it, but whether or not the story or the depictions will influence other people. And I think there's a point where maybe we could draw the line and say, hey, I think this is going too far. Maybe this doesn't fit the story. Maybe this is too gratuitous. Maybe this isn't going to help. Maybe this will influence people negatively. Now, I've heard I actually was driving here and heard somebody being interviewed by PBS. He had written a book about the internet, about the media and his influence on the media. And he was actually asked, why did you consider not writing this book because of the impact it would have on other people? And he said, yes, of course I considered that. Well, you know, what else are you going to say in that scenario?
Then I heard what my royalty checks would be for the book, and I stopped considering
right.
it.
Right. But still, that's a question that he was asked in a nonfiction setting. I think it is a legitimate question to ask in a fiction setting. I think 99.9% of the time, though, the answer will be, these things are appropriate as long as the intent, the purpose, and the impact, how far it goes, are all taken into consideration, and they're not, you don't go beyond a certain line. And of course, we have to decide what that line is. But I think that's up to the artist ultimately, not up to the people seeing the art, whether or not they've crossed a line. I mean, we can ask that question afterwards and talk about it. But I think we don't want to get into a situation where Mark Twain uses a certain word in his works, and now we're not allowed to read them in school. We don't want to get into that kind of situation.
Right.
Mark Twain used that word for a reason.
And yet it was one of the first anti-racist books written, and then it gets put out of libraries because of that word.
Right. So it becomes this,
it's a shame.
You can't win situation.
Now, you were asking what kinds of movies we should make. My standard would be that a movie should either entertain, maybe through humor, special effects, or it should challenge us and have a message. I don't believe every movie has to entertain and challenge us. If it's not doing one or the other, I do question why I saw it. Like the movie
right.
Seven. Now, the movie Seven was extremely graphic and violent. It was very well acted. It did not entertain me. And if there was a message in there, and I suppose there may have been one, if there was, it was lost on me. I did not see the purpose of the movie Seven. It didn't fit that criteria. And I'm just using that as one example.
Right. That's a good example. I mean, we could go on and discuss it because I may have a different view of that movie. And I think that's one of the good things about art is that it raises questions like this and it puts us into a situation where we need to discuss it and we talk about what is good and bad. And then it reflects back on our own humanity. What is good and bad about me and what does it reflect about you? What does it reflect about humanity at large? Does it reflect anything about God, about Christ, about whatever? So I totally agree. I think that is a very good criteria. And again, I think giving the artist the leeway to make whatever art they want is imperative. We shouldn't be stopping them. And if the art does influence somebody into committing a violent act, which I do not think The Dark Knight did in any way, shape, or form here, it was just a, it was just an opportunity. I think that we discuss it afterwards. If it was the intent of the director to cause somebody to commit a crime, then there is definitely some
response.
Yeah,
we once had a guy named Joseph Goebbels who deliberately made propaganda films for with certain intentions.
There you go.
But that's what it would have to be, something
right.
like that.
They'd have to cross a line that far, and I absolutely agree. So, but again, so we'll always be left with a discussion like this. I think ultimately we will talk about it for a month or so, and then it'll go away because that's the way we are as human beings. Unfortunately, and fortunately, depends on how you look at it. But for right now, it's a good discussion to have. So maybe I should actually talk about whether or not I like
the movie. Yeah, no, I thought The Dark Knight was an excellent movie. I know that you absolutely loved it. I thought The Dark Knight Rises was an okay movie. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one. What say you?
Okay. Well, that would be, you mean you
first
didn't
one
enjoy
meaning
it.
The second one.
I
thought
one, yeah.
the movie called The Dark Knight was a better movie than The Dark Knight Rises.
Correct.
I didn't think The Dark Knight Rises was a bad movie. I did not think it was as good as the last one.
Right. And, to be honest, I actually said, you know what? There is no way Christopher Nolan is going to be able to strike gold twice in the same location. It just was not a possibility. So I said, I'm going to expect this movie to not be as good. And it was better than I expected because I didn't think he was going to top himself. And I didn't want him to try, to be honest. I wanted him to tell a good story, a story that he had thought he should tell. And he probably did have this story in mind to some extent when he did the previous film. It's just that he had such a knockout performance from a great actor with a great character, and everything about that movie was flawless that you just, again, you can't top it. But he did a great job. And I think if this movie was the second in the series, people would be going just as, not quite as crazy maybe, but just as crazy as they went for the last one. And you know, if we switch places. So
he set the bar pretty high for himself.
He did.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it's too high. But, you know,
it was better than you thought it would be, but still not as good as the last one?
Not as good as the last one, but I wouldn't even want to.
You don't even want to make that comparison.
Yeah, because it's such a good movie. I really think that this is another brilliant film by Christopher Nolan.
Well, maybe you can help me since you thought it was so brilliant on the topic of gratuitous violence, which I'm not really saying he was doing, but the purpose of the criminals in other Batman movies and what they were trying to accomplish was pretty obvious. I didn't see what the bad guys were trying to do here other than just create a bunch of mayhem, obviously, and blow a lot of people up. I was missing what their overall objective was.
Right. That's a good question, because in this movie, it is probably the most subtle of all. And now you're going to run into spoiler issues. So here we go. That's your warning. So maybe we should do the spoilers after the break.
Okay. You've got a whole break to decide if you want to hear the spoilers or not. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's weekly column for Washington Times Communities. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L, bobsiegel.net. Here, you can download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. We now return to The Bob Siegel Show.
A I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian, and he is reviewing The Dark Knight Rises.
All right. You've already got your spoiler warning, so here I go. To answer your question, Bob, about the... You almost seem to be asking if the villains were gratuitous, not necessarily the violence.
Well, they were still bad guys, and again, good versus evil. So I didn't have a problem that there was violence in the movie. I did not see what the criminals were trying to accomplish this time. It's been made very clear in other movies.
That's true. Okay, so in this, because the problem is, this is why it's a spoiler warning, the villain switches at the end of the movie.
Yeah, who we think, well, at least one of the villains.
Yes.
Is somebody different than who we think.
Yeah, so you're focused on Bane as the bad guy, and then it kind of, and it switches. And what is his purpose?
He's obviously a troubled person that's had a horrible life, but still.
Okay, well, the other thing is it harkens back to the first movie where he's trying
Batman
to complete.
Begins.
Yes, yeah. He's trying to complete what Ra's al Ghul, the villain in the first movie, did not accomplish. In the first movie, the villain was trying to destroy Gotham City because it had become too evil to exist anymore. And so his solution is complete destruction, almost like he is taking the role of God, the wrath of God thing, where he's going to destroy the city because they have just they're too bad.
So it was out of his love for the purity of humanity
that
he needed to destroy the entire city.
Which, in a way, it was, actually.
Well, there have been evil people in real history
who would justify themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, and so he sort of, if you really boiled it down, you could actually say that. Now, so here they've returned, in a sense, the League of Shadows. Ra's al Ghul himself is dead, but his league still sort of exists as a fringe thing, and they've come back to complete their work. Now, the irony is that Gotham has become good in the interim between the previous
because of
time.
The influence of Harvey Dent
and
the DA.
Exactly. Now,
and the way they slanted and faked the influence of Harvey Dent at the end of the last movie.
So we have, in the previous movie, we have Batman taking on the bad things that Harvey Dent did. They blamed them all on Batman. So in the past, I've discussed this as Batman taking the role of Christ and taking on the sins of Harvey Dent in order to save humanity. And that's exactly what he did, and that's what happened. He saved humanity. At the beginning of the movie, we learned that Gotham, because of this law, because Batman took on Harvey's sins, they made this law, the law cleaned up the city, and the city is no longer rampant evil. And it's all due to the sacrifice that Batman made. And Batman's off the streets. He's not even really necessary anymore. Things have gotten so good. Now, this becomes a struggle for Bruce Wayne and Batman throughout the film. And there's a lot of good questions asked about heroism and the needs and things like that. But then it brings us back around to these people coming in to complete the work that their predecessor had tried to do, to destroy the city. Now, I kind of view this, what's interesting from a Christian perspective, I like to call Batman sort of a corrupt Christ, where he's not really Jesus, he's the dark Jesus in a way, where he's taking on the sins, but he's not necessarily purely good. He's a human, he's got these good and bad things to him, but he takes on the sin of humanity. There's also this kind of corrupt notion that there's these people that can destroy the city in order to expunge evil from the world, like we see in the Old Testament. God steps in and he does destroy whole cities because they are involved in such evil practices. But it's corrupted because God never destroyed a city that had repented and he gave them the chance. This tale of Jonah, which I actually had seen a couple of comparisons to for The Dark Knight, interestingly enough, that he goes to Nineveh, the city of Nineveh in the Bible, and they repent, and God does not destroy the city because they've turned around and made things better. Well, here we have the exact same situation. Things have turned around. Things are better, but the villains come in, and they still are going to destroy the city. So we have these sort of biblical themes, in a sense, woven into the story of Batman in a very complex way. But again, there's sort of this twisting or corruption of the biblical idea. So that's some of the stuff I really like about Christopher Nolan is he can do this. He does a very good job at weaving complex themes into his stories that do really reflect not just humanity, but I believe they reflect God and Christ as well.
Now, what do you think was his reason for making it a trilogy and then discontinuing it? A lot of times trilogy just means until we make enough money, we make a fourth one. I get the impression that Nolan truly intended to wrap
just
it up this last
read.
Movie.
I honestly do not know, but given that he did Inception between the previous Batman movie and this one, part of me thinks he just wants to move on and do other things. Another part of me thinks that he knew, because he's a brilliant storyteller, and his brother, I think, is the other person, then David S. Goyer, also helped with the scripts of all three Batman movies. Anyway, these three guys are good storytellers, so they know that if you just say, I'm telling this story and ending it here, it generally tends to be a better story.
Yeah,
instead of letting it go on forever.
Right. You pretty much hit it from what I've heard. From what I understand, he had no intention of even doing a second one, let alone a third. It just so happened that they explored, this is only what I've heard, that they explored the possibility of if we do a second one, where can we take it? What can we do? And they thought that they had enough storyline potential doing a movie with the Joker. They went ahead and did it. And then they found that they had enough to make a third coming out of that, and they did the third. And then at the end of the third, they're like, yeah, we answered all our questions. We can't go any further than that.
Okay. I had actually heard that he had planned a trilogy at the conclusion of the second movie, when they were interviewing him at
right.
that point, because that's when the movie really skyrocketed at that point. And of course, the right. question is, are you going to do another one?
That's interesting, because a movie like Batman Begins, by its very title, seems to suggest that it was the beginning of a series of Batman.
Right.
I know Warner Brothers wanted to. I just don't know if they wanted to with Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yes, I'm sure exactly. Warner Brothers will go ahead and make another one. But
they probably want to make a fourth.
Right. Yeah. And I've heard suggestions that there'd be a Catwoman movie. And I think, and hopefully... I have mixed feelings about that. Now, I don't think there's ever been a good Catwoman anything.
There was a movie
ever.
Just called Catwoman.
Yeah, I know.
It?
And that was one of the lowest grossing.
Was that supposed
movies.
To exist in the Batman universe, or was she
no,
supposed
was
to
supposed
be some
to be.
Other Catwoman?
It was supposed to be all by itself.
Yeah.
Its own thing.
And everybody.
So it wasn't the same Catwoman. It was just another person called Catwoman?
No. It wasn't even from the source material. It wasn't even from the comics, because Catwoman has been Selina Kyle and Halle Berry. She wasn't even Selina Kyle. So it was its own deal.
Wow.
And I will not speak of this horrid movie
right.
anymore.
Well, okay. It was basically just a movie that said, let's put her in this sexy tight suit and march her around the movie
that
screen
was it.
And charge money.
Well, that works for a lot of people.
Yes,
what
it
a
does.
Terrible
yeah.
movie.
Ooh. Yeah, I've heard nothing good. I've never seen it just because I've never heard a good word about it, and I'm not about to go see a movie
you,
just because there's a hot girl in
you,
it.
You, sir, are a smart man. Keep it that
you.
Way.
Now, the
yes.
Catwoman in this movie, I thought... If the movie had any comic relief at all, and I'm not sure it did, it would have been found in the Catwoman
I think
character.
She did, yes.
She did lighten up the movie a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that this is... I don't like the previous Batman incarnations, none of them. This was the... I couldn't believe that I ended up liking Batman after Batman Begins, because I had such a massive hatred for Tim Burton's version. But when they introduced Catwoman... That's basically when the series collapsed. I mean, if you were... I could see the artistry of Burton's Batman, even though I didn't like it. But once Catwoman comes onto the scene, there's no artistry. I'm not giving the movies any credit at all.
Can we all agree that whether you're Batman fan or not, the Batman television series was the dumbest thing since sliced ham?
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
It depends on my mood, but in most cases, yes.
Right. And there is a Batman movie with those guys in it.
We won't speak of that one either.
That's right. But it may actually be better than the Catwoman movie.
I can agree with that, but that's like saying one bad thing is better than another. They're both bad.
Right. That's true. But
okay,
what's,
down to our last couple minutes, Mark. You recommend this movie,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, absolutely. And what I liked about Anne Hathaway's Catwoman is that she fit into this very dark, dismal setting that the Christopher Nolan had created. She was absolutely great in this film. They didn't emphasize her sexuality hardly at all. She was a character who was real and good, and that's one of the reasons that this movie was so good. The Nolan is about art, not about any of the peripheral stuff.
Okay, and folks, if you were planning on seeing this movie and you're thinking now you shouldn't because of what happened in Colorado, don't ever let these bad guys have the final word. Don't let some demented freak keep you from seeing what was a good movie. We will see you next week. This is Bob Siegel and Mark Boobian.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.